First and foremost, I'd like to thank the church, Whispering Pines, for inviting me to speak. It's always a great honor and privilege to share a portion of God's word, and I'm really excited to stand before you this morning and to share a portion. I'd like to thank Glenn for embarrassing me a little bit. I really appreciate that. I was already nervous as is. The question we've been asked in this meeting and the question we've been discussing is, who is Jesus? And the brethren that stood before us have mentioned that Jesus is many, many things. He's our Savior. He's our friend. He's the head of the church. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And many, many more. I'd like to focus for a moment to a verse in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, our brother Alan Bailey spoke on this verse briefly in his lesson. This is one of my favorite passages about Jesus. Now, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter is speaking to the household of Cornelius, and he's describing Jesus to them. And Peter said of Jesus, he went about doing good. Isn't that wonderful? Such a small phrase is packed with such amazing thoughts. Jesus went about doing good. From the time that Jesus was on this earth, when he was a little child, until the day he died, he went around doing good. That is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He was focused on serving others. That was his primary focus, was doing good. He saw a need, he took care of it. If someone needed healing, they were healed. If someone was hungry, they were fed. Jesus was the ultimate servant. He gave his life in service. Not only did he live his life in service, he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his life, death on the cross. To emphasize this point, I'd like to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. And this explains what Jesus has done for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible tells us, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. This passage explains to us what Jesus did. The writer here explains that if you think you're a righteous person, you would probably die for someone that you really cared about. Now think for a moment, someone you care about very much, the most important person in this world. I'm sure everyone here would say, yes, I would die for them. I would die for my spouse. I would die for my children. I would die for my friend. Well, we actually don't know if we would or not, if we're put in that circumstance. But Jesus took it a step further. Not only did he die for the righteous, he died for the ungodly. He died for people that no one wants, the outcasts of society, sinners, people who were covered in sin. And who are these people? Well, it's me, and it's you. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. When he was hanging on the cross, he thought of you. Do we think of him? Do we think of what he has done for us? That is Jesus. Jesus does many things to us, as we've mentioned. And I want to talk about a little bit this morning is Jesus is our example. He went around doing good. That was the example he left to us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us." We as Christians, we are called to imitate God by looking to Jesus as our example. Galatians 3 and 27 says, "For many of those who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When we become Christians, we bear the name Christ. We are his disciples. We are followers of Jesus. We have to look to him. We have to look to his word. We have to follow his example. Paul also explains in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, explains that the Lord, our God, Jesus, has left us a pattern to follow through his word. And the thing about patterns is, we can have a perfect pattern, but if we don't follow it, that pattern is worthless. It's not good to us. Jesus left us a perfect pattern, but if we're not following it, what good is it? Are we willing to follow in his steps? If we say yes, that means we're going to have to devote our lives, not only to God, but to others. Because that's the pattern that Jesus left. He loved his Father more than anything. And he loved us right along with him. That is the pattern that was left for us. I like to look at 1 John chapter 3. And John challenges us to see the pattern that which Jesus has laid down for us. I'm going to read from John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Jesus loved you. Jesus loved me. He cared for me. He cared for us. He had compassion on us, and he died for us. That is who he is. Why did he do this? Because he loved us. He had compassion on us. If you were to read the parables of Jesus, and especially in Luke chapter 15, we find the three parables of the lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And these parables explain to us how Jesus values our souls. That when we come to repentance, there is rejoicing in heaven. The scriptures explain that God loves us so much that if 99 of us, sheep, were fine and one was missing, he would spend all night, all day searching until he found that lost sheep. God is not satisfied until we're all saved. That is the example that is left to us. And what I like to express this morning is, as I know our brother Harith expressed in his lesson about compassion, is we need to take the time and stop. Think about that. Take time and stop. And think about where we would be without Christ. Where would we be if someone had not showed us the gospel? Where would we be if someone had not showed us the truth? And put yourself in the person that's lost. Put yourself in their shoes. If you truly love your neighbor, your friend, you will tell them about Jesus. You won't be satisfied until all your friends, all your family, all your co-workers are saved. That's what Jesus would do. That's what he wants you to do. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, don't be afraid. This was God's plan, that we spread the gospel. He's begging us, please, please help my people. One sobering thought to me is If Christians aren't spreading the gospel, if me and you aren't spreading the gospel, who is going to do it? It's up to us. I've always felt, well, as long as I've been preaching anyways, that I'm not sure if this is true. I mean, maybe disagree with me, but I always felt that every single person here knows at least one person that no one else here knows. You are their only contact to the truth. Think about that a moment. There's someone out there that may be depending on you to share the truth with them. And they're waiting. And there are people out there waiting. They're confused. They're saying, well, this person's saying this. This preacher's saying this. I read the Bible. I don't understand it. I want to understand it. But I just don't understand. They're searching. People are searching for the truth. And we have the truth. And yet we choose not to share it with them. Why do we do this? Well, the devil doesn't want us to do this, first of all. I know, I think a lot of times it's because we're scared. We're scared, well, I might lose that friend. Well, if you don't say something, you will lose your friend. Not on this earth, but in the next life. Think about what Jesus would want you to do. Jesus had compassion. Jesus wanted you to spread the gospel. That is what Jesus wants us to do. The last few minutes, I'd like to discuss not who is Jesus, but who are we. This is all about Jesus. We're here because we love God. But we need to examine our own lives. We can read and find out what Jesus has done, who Jesus is. But who are we? Staying in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Talk is cheap. We can say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I follow God. Well, God says, show me. Jesus says, show me. John 15 and 14 says, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. If you want to be Jesus' friend, you will follow him. Telling who we are, that means nothing. We need to show who we are by how we live our lives. Jesus went around doing good. Who are we? That is who Jesus is. Now, if someone else were to describe you, what would they say? Say, who is that person? Well, they could say, well, that's a faithful Christian. They are a disciple of Christ. Now, that is a good example. Or could they say, how dare they call themselves a Christian? It's shameful to me to think of times in my life, things I've done while bearing the name Christian. It's shameful. And it pains me. It upsets me that I was supposed to be representing Christ, and I was selfish, and I was rude to people. I gossiped. Discouraged someone. It's terrible. Who are we? Are we reflecting Christ? Jesus went around doing good. Who are we? Now, ultimately, it doesn't matter what other people say. What matters is what God thinks of us. What does God see? Now, God sees all, knows all, and hears all. When he lays out your life, what's he going to look at? Was he going to look at how you went around doing good, or you went around serving yourself? The only way we can grow close to God is to remove the sin from our body, focus on Jesus, our example. I have 1 minute left, and in closing, I want to say, how do you really know someone? We're asking, who is Jesus? Who am I? Who are you? How do you really know someone? Now, if you wanted to know me, you can come talk to me, and I can talk for, you know, forever about myself, and I could tell you who I am. But really, that's probably a nice version. I'm sure my mom, if she was here, she'd tell you that. But really, you get to know someone by spending time with them, by seeing how they react. You get to know them. You really know a person. Now, we say, well, I don't really know them, more of an acquaintance. But here, this is my best friend, because we've been through a lot together. Well, in the same way, God sees us. Some of us are just acquaintances to God. He says, I don't really know you. You're not my friend. And I'd like to read this final passage in Matthew chapter 7. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, explains to us about how do you know someone. He says in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in my name, cast out demons in my name, and done many wonders in my name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We're all going to face God, the Father, at judgment. And hopefully he'll say to us, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. Instead of saying, who are you? I never knew you. Jesus went around doing good. Who are you gonna be?